20 minutes, all right. We gotta get.
Chapter number 20, and we're actually only going to read verse 7, I'm sorry. And so go ahead, if you got your place, go ahead and stand with me. Acts 20 and verse number 7. And only going to read one verse tonight and one basic central theme we're going to discuss tonight. And it may be old hat to you, and if it is, praise God. But for some, it may not be old hat. And we're going to talk about this tonight. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Let's all read verse 7 together. Here we go. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Amen. How'd you like to be here till midnight? Amen. No, we got to go to work tomorrow, preacher. Amen. I'm sure they had to go to work too. Amen. So, Father, work in our hearts, work in our midst tonight, Lord. As we look at the truths in the Word of God, I pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts to what is at hand, Lord. Help us to comprehend and defend the things of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for it tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. We are moving on from verses 1 through 6. And we found out in verse number 5 and 6 that Luke joined Paul because we see us down there and we down there in verses 5 and 6. And it says, where we abode 7 days at Troas there in verse number 6. And then it says this, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. And the subject matter tonight is going to be this, the significance of the first day of the week. The significance of the first day of the week. And let me ask you this question, because you're going to run across some people. God had started out this church with us. Pastor White knows who I'm talking about. Had left the church, and I found him one day and asked him, where you been? And he said this to me, we're worshiping on the wrong day. We're supposed to be worshiping on the Sabbath day. And I said, well, where'd you get that from? He said, that's Bible. That's Old Testament. We're supposed to be worshiping on the Sabbath. I said, no, that's Old Testament, New Testament. He said, no, you can't throw out the Old Testament. We're supposed to be worshiping on the Sabbath day. How would you answer him? What would you say? Scripturally and biblically, how could you point him to the right way? Because it is important why we worship on the first day of the week. Now, is the Sabbath still Saturday? Yes, it is. Do the Jews still worship on that day? Yes, they do. But so do the Seventh-day Adventists. And so do some other groups. And so I tried to talk with him, and he did not want to listen to any encouragement that I tried to give him scripturally and biblically. And he said that I was taking things out of context. And I said, well, no, I don't think I'm taking these verses out of context. I'm going to share the same things tonight with you. And the question is this, why do we worship on Sunday and not the Sabbath day, which is Saturday? And can we back it up by the Bible? Keeping in mind that the book of Acts is a transition book. Again, transitioning from the temple to the local church, from the priest to the pastor, from the blood sacrifices to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, which is already done and over. So we're going to do some things tonight here. I'm going to use your Bible over the next several moments that we do have to help you answer this question and to help arm you as well. So that when somebody asks you, why do you go to church on Sunday? You have an answer. Amen. By the way, should we have an answer? Amen. Now, does the Bible say, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy? Yes, it does. So let's go back there. First of all, Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. So we've got to establish that fact, first of all. God did give the law to Moses, and part of the law was to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They were so restricted that they couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. I'm sorry, Exodus 20. Did I say Acts 20? Exodus 20, I'm sorry. Yeah, Exodus 20. Acts is not, if Acts is in your Old Testament, you got a bad Bible. All right, Exodus chapter 20. And who's there to read that for me? Acts 20, 28? Exodus 28? I keep saying Acts. Exodus 20, verse 8. Let me get somebody to read that. Who's there? Anybody? Somebody? Katie?
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, okay? Now notice the conditions. Verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Literal 6 days he made the earth. Amen. So boo on the creation, the evolutionists. Amen. And he says, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, which is Saturday. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So did God give that command? Yes, he did give that command. And so if he did give that command, then how do we get away from that command? How do you and I, as New Testament fundamental Bible-believing Christians, get away from that command, and how dare we go to a Sunday to worship God? Serge? Who did he give it to? Now, if Adam and Eve had not bitten the fruit, it would still be to Adam and Eve as well, too. Since they ate, they're not here. It was given to the Jews. Was it a part of the law? Yes, it was a part of the law. Were you and I, as Gentiles, ever under the law? No, we were never under the law. Could a Jew still follow what you and I follow, New Testamentally speaking? Yes, they could. And let me give you the validation. All right. So you see that it is here. So we cannot refute the fact that it is here. We know it was given to the Jews. It was never given to the Gentiles. We're not Jews. But we still have to get past this law if I'm talking to a Jew, okay, or I'm talking to somebody else. So come over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Because we want to be able to defend this and not try to beat somebody up with it. Matthew chapter number 5, of course, this is coming up to the Beatitudes in that area. But Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus, after giving the Beatitudes and how the kingdom life living ought to be, and after saying, ye are the salt of the earth and the world, and all those great things. Notice what it says in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy what? The law. Or the prophets. Jesus said, you know what? I'm not coming to destroy the law of Moses. Neither am I coming to destroy what the prophets said. Elijah was great. Jonah was great. Jeremiah was great. They're all great. Jeremiah, you're great. You're great. You're great. Amen. They were all great. He said, I'm not coming to destroy that, because, you know, the Pharisees about this time, when he starts saying, blessed are the poor and blessed are the people. Hey, what about that law thing? Hey, what about that law thing? And Jesus said, ho, stop. I'm not coming to destroy the law. I'm not coming to destroy the prophets. Notice what he says, but to what? Fulfill. What did he mean by fulfill? Jeremiah? He was that sacrifice. It also required something else. Total obedience to the law. And he was the only one that could be totally obedient to the law and fulfill the prophecy of the prophets. He was the one. And so he said, I didn't come to destroy it. Now, notice what he says down there in verse number 18. For verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from law. He said, every bit of the law has got to be kept. What did James say? If you offend in one point, you're guilty of how much of it? All. He said, every jot and every tittle of that law needs to be completed in man. We can't do it. There's a problem with that. But Jesus could. He says, till all be fulfilled. So we know that Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. It's got to be fulfilled in its totality. Okay. Now, go over to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 4. So we know that the law was in place. We know that Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. But now we come over to Romans chapter number 10. Of course, this is Paul in Acts chapter 10. Notice what he says. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, notice verse 4. What does that say? Read it with me. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In layman's terms, what that means is if we have Christ, we don't have to worry about the law. Christ is the end of the law. He fulfilled it, so I don't have to. Why? I never could. I never will. And so he is my righteousness. Why? He fulfilled the law. And so I don't have to keep the Sabbath day because it was part of the law. And the law couldn't be fulfilled by me. But Jesus fulfilled the law for me to make me right with God. Anybody confused yet? Okay, everybody got that part? Okay. So he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, if Christ is the end of the law, can I just chuck the law and throw it away? No. He said, the law is your schoolmaster. It still works on consciousness. Now, are we saved by the law? No. But can we do it away? No. Jesus capsulized it into two commands. What were those two commands? The Ten Commandments. He put them into two. What are those two? Jeremiah? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as thyself. He said, in these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said that those 10, I can put them down into two. He said, if you do that, you're good. Can we do that? No. Not without Jesus Christ's power. Okay. So we see that Christ is the end of the law. Okay. Now, notice what he says, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them or die by them, as the matter may be. Amen. All right, so now we've got that established. Now come over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Colossians 2 and verse 14. Because the only thing I want to do is set this up so that you have at your disposal the capability to talk to someone that says that we should be worshiping on the Sabbath. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Matter of fact, come up to verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What did he do for us? Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, talking about laws, which was contrary to us. Why is it contrary to us? Because we couldn't keep them. And took it out of the way, doing what to it? Nailing it to his cross. He said, look, you can't do it. And so I'm going to get up here and be sin for you. And all the transgressions that you couldn't keep of the law, I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to bear the burden of that. I'm going to pay the price of that. And so Christ is the end of the law. He took it and he put it up on the cross. Everything that we couldn't do, he said, I'm paying for it. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? All right. So this is where it begins to get good. All right. Come over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and number 4 and who's already there? Got that for me. Go ahead, Aaron.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. Now, he said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So we get attributed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So it's almost as if we kept the law when we didn't keep the law. Okay, notice what he says down there in verse number 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So it's like we did it, but we didn't do it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So Jesus Christ did what we could not do. Okay. So now, why do we go to church on Sunday? Okay, now the law has been taken care of. Everybody got that? So we don't have to worry about Exodus chapter 20. Keep the Sabbath day. That's done. That got nailed through. We couldn't keep that anyway. Okay? So now, come over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Why do we go to church on Sunday? Anybody want to take a guess? Why do we go to church on Sunday? Disciples did it. Early saints did it. Anybody else got anything?
Because
Is that Sam? The Jesus rolls. There we go. Matthew 28. Let's go to verse number 1. And notice what the scriptures say. In the end of the Sabbath. And what day is the Sabbath? Saturday. So at the end of Saturday, going into what comes next? Sunday, or the first day of the week. And the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. What did they not find, or who did they not find? The Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was not there. Notice verse 6. He is not here, for he is what? Risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay. So we see that that's the time that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Mark 16:2 gives the same basic phraseology. Go over to Mark 16:2. So why do we go to church on Sunday? Because it's the first day of the week when Jesus Christ rose. Verse number, let's go 1, 16:1. And when the Sabbath, which is Saturday, was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday, that's where you get your sunrise services from. They came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And so that's why people have sunrise services on Easter, because they came at the rising of the sun. Preacher, when are we going to have one? Maybe one of these days, amen. And we can have breakfast, we can eat. Y'all hungry already, aren't y'all? Sausage and pancakes. Turkey sausage. Biscuits and gravy, amen. Waffles. Now, if I didn't go to church any other time, I went on sunrise service. I got up early to go to sunrise service. I was unsaved, but I knew one thing. I had an appetite. And I got to eat all the pancakes and sausages I wanted to. I got all the grits I wanted. I got all the waffles I wanted. I bypassed the fruit, and I went back to the waffles. Amen. Sunrise services. So they get here, and it's the first day of the week. Verse 6. Same phraseology, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where he lay. And then go over to the Gospel of Luke. No, stay there. Notice verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. So we still see this is the first of the week. All right, now go over to Luke chapter 24. And just want to establish to you that the first day of the week is important, because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And that was the day that the early disciples began to adopt as their worship day. Luke 24. And notice verse number 1. Now upon the, what day is that? First day of the week, very what? Early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Okay, of course, they found the body not there. Amen. So we see the same phraseology there. So let's fast forward a little bit to John, Gospel of John, John chapter 20 and verse 1. And again, this is just different accounts of the same thing. John chapter 20 and verse number 1. Again, it's Sunday, the first day of the week. Cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And then come down to verse number 19. Then the same day, at what day? Evening. So what day is this still? Sunday, first day of the week. At evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So we see him back on Sunday evening as well. So not just Sunday morning, but Sunday evening he's there. Okay. And so a couple more and then we're going to be done. Amen. Go over to, let's go back to Acts chapter 20. Go back to Acts chapter 20. And then we're almost done. We got 2 minutes. Amen. We're almost done. All right. Acts chapter 20. And notice again in verse number 7. Let me read that real quick. I should have my page marked. Amen. All right. Here we go. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples were came together. So we see the first day of the week is important because it was the time that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay. We are not subject to the Sabbath anymore. But the first day of the week is when Christ rose from the dead. And so we hallow that day out and we honor that day because that's the day he rose from the dead. Did the law do anything for us other than show us our sin? No, it couldn't save us. It just showed us our sin. Did Jesus do something for us? Yes, yes. He paid the penalty for that law of sin on the cross. So you and I have access. So we honor him on the day that he rose from the dead because the law couldn't save us. But Jesus saved us from the penalty of the law. What was the wages of sin? Death. And so lambs gave their lives repeatedly. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, came once and for all. So we honor him on the first day of the week when he rose from the dead. Amen. So we see several things here real quick. They came together. Notice that verse. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples were come together, they came together. Why did they come together? Remembering when he rose, honoring his day. Notice 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. The men read this often when it comes to giving. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. Three quick principles we're going to give you real quick. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2. Matter of fact, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches, and this is Paul speaking about the special collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. He said, of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon what day? The first day of the week, it became a practice for them to come together. He said, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. There will be no gatherings when I come. So the first reason they came together when he arose to honor his day. You're still in 1 Corinthians. Go over to chapter 11. Not only did they come to honor his day, but also to partake of the Lord's table. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and notice verse number 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 25 says it this way. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So when the disciples came together to honor the Lord on his day, they also did something else. They would normally eat and they would also remember the Lord's table. And they would do that when they came together. Why was it so necessary for them to do that at that time so frequently? Anybody got any guesses? Why was it so necessary for them to do it so frequently back then? Katie? So they wouldn't revert back to what they knew before. That's a good one. Amen. Anybody else? Something else? Why was it so necessary for them to continue to do it repeatedly? Serge? Amen. They got to share. It was practical. What's another reason? Why so repeatedly when they come together to break bread and oftentimes they did the Lord's table at the same time? What did they not have that you and I have? Well, no, they had the Spirit.
I mean, they didn't have.
Who said scriptures? Scriptures. They didn't have a Bible. And so they needed to be reminded of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. So coming together and breaking the bread and drinking of the juice reminded them, hey, he paid for our sins because they didn't have a Bible. The only thing they had were the prophecies and the prophets there preaching and teaching things to them. And what Paul was writing to them, they didn't have a completed Bible like you and I. So it was necessary for them to come together and not just come together, but then partake of the Lord's table. Why? They didn't have a Bible. And so they came together to remember his remember when he rose, honoring his day, remembering the Lord's Supper, remembering his death, but then rehearsing his words. Give you two verses here, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. 2 minutes to seven. All right, let's read these real quick, folks, so we can get dismissed here. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. And then somebody else go to Hebrews chapter 1 and read verses 1, 2, and 3 for me. All right. Ephesians 2. 19 and 20. And notice what it says here, because they didn't have a Bible at this point. Am I at the right verse? Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Yes. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. Speaking to the Ephesians. Were the Ephesians Jews? No, they were Gentiles. They were Greeks. No more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Notice this. And are built upon the foundation of who? The apostles. And who? prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So they didn't have a Bible then. They were getting teaching from the apostles, and they had the Old Testament prophets that they were going by at this time. So they didn't have what you and I have. So they needed to come together to break bread, to have fellowship, and to go over the Lord's table, and to hear the word of God from those who had it already. And then who's got Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3? Jeremiah? Amen. So notice the formula. Over in Ephesians, it said that they were built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Over here, what does it say here? Verse 1, by the prophets. He said, in these last days spoken unto us by his son. So they needed to get together to hear the words of Jesus Christ. They did not have what you and I have. And so they would rehearse what Jesus did, what he did in the Gospels, his life on earth, his 3.5 years of ministry with the disciples. They would listen to the prophets and what the prophets would add in. They would listen to what Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of the Old Testament prophets said, and all collectively coming together because they didn't have a Bible. And so it was necessary for them to come together and to come together frequently and to come together and have the Lord's table and to come together and hear the word of God. Hey, isn't the same necessity put upon us? Yes. The only difference is we've got the completed word of God. We have the advantage. And dare say some don't take advantage of the blessing that we have. Because we've got so much in the book that God has given us. So if somebody asks you that question, why do we go to church on Sunday? It's a law. You can let them know the law was done away with in Christ. And we worship on the first day because that's the day that he rose from the dead. We honor him, not the law, because the law condemned us. Christ saved us. Amen. There is a difference. I don't know about you, but if I've got two choices, to honor the ones condemning me or the one that's saving me, I'm going to honor the ones saving me. Amen. Put references down in your Bible, because you will inevitably, if you don't have a Jehovah's Witness ask you, or Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist ask you, you have someone else. Yes, brother.
Yeah, and another helpful passage is Hebrews 8:6-13.
Hebrews 8:6-13. Amen. Y'all jot that one down as well and look that one up. Amen. And I'll look it up too. Amen. But those are helpful because they're going to ask you why. And we need to have an answer. And, Lord's table is coming up Sunday. Let's take advantage of that. Why? It brings us back to what he did for us. He died for our sins so that we didn't have to. I mean, all on the cross. Amen. And Jesus paid it all. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Amen. He's a good Savior. He's a good Lord. I know I went through that quick. Amen. But if you got questions, please see me afterwards. And I'll try to fill you in. I'm trying to make sure I can get the kids in here. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. By the way, if you are going to stay in here as the kids perform.